Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me today. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. Bill Brandt is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's the president and the founder of Development Specialists Incorporated, and he travels the world helping companies and not just companies, but countries solve some of their issues that they have, some of the challenges that they have. He's a very smart guy, and he's also very heavily involved with the Democrat Party, and it's more specifically, in the interest of full disclosure, very heavily involved in the campaign of Hillary Clinton. But more importantly, he's our good friend. Bill Brandt, welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning, Jim, and I'm happy to be here as always.
It's good to have you back. And something else happened that you were just telling me about. I want you to tell the audience about. I know that you were helping Ohio folks, when I said governments, Bill, helping governments, I meant what I said. And Bill, you did. I know you did some things with Ohio, but in observing that, your own state of Illinois came calling, didn't they?
Yeah. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Just before Christmas, the governor asked me to chair the Illinois Finance Authority. So that is the agency. It's one of the largest state agencies in the country. About 4 or 5 years ago,
is that like an economic development type of organization?
About four or 5 years ago, the governor combined all the bond issuing agencies for the purposes of preserving jobs, expanding education, healthcare, industry, and so I'm now the one who reviews these projects and tries to attract industry to Illinois.
Wow.
And save jobs and do the rest of it.
Congratulations. Well, how does that work?
I'm still trying to figure that out, Jim. You know, they get volunteered for the worst things. No, I think what happens is that Illinois and other states as well could issue bonds for worthy projects.
Right.
You know, energy development projects, energy independence projects, university expansion.
To attract a plant and help pay for the build-out, that kind of thing?
To attract a plant and help pay for the build-out, to retain a plant and do some expansion so there's new job creation, to put up new dorms at universities, to expand healthcare services. A lot of the stuff we're looking at in Illinois right now, Illinois, as you know, is the Saudi Arabia of coal.
Uh-huh.
And at some point, all that coal is going to, you know, everybody talks about biomass fuels, and I'm a big fan of ancient biomass, which is coal. And so if we can dig it up and burn it in such a way.
I can't sit very well with your friend Al Gore, Bill.
No, I think actually it might, and I'll tell you why. Because the governor has come out with a new carbon emission program. We want to be carbon neutral. We want to trap the CO2 emissions and put them back underground in these old coal mines. And so the U.S. government just announced a plan called FutureGen for Mattoon, Illinois, down in southern Illinois near Evansville, where they will produce a new coal-burning plant that will trap all of its emissions and put them back underground.
Wow!
So it'll be emission neutral. Obviously, it's got to gasify the coal and do all this. And so these are the kind of endeavors that I'm supposed to be looking at, and we'll see if we can issue tax-exempt bonds. We're talking about coming up with green bonds. So many people want to put in their portfolio investments. You know, in the old days, remember when they wouldn't invest in South Africa because of apartheid?
Right.
They're looking now for bonds that are certified as something backing a green program, and so this is the kind of stuff we're going to try and develop. So I think Al Gore would be happy with me, although with Al, you never know. He's kind of a stoic, you know.
So this is sort of a variation on ethics investing. Ethical investing.
It is. I mean, that's one thing we're going to do. The other stuff, Jim, is as you know it, and it's good for small business and business everywhere. It's run of the mill. You know, a plant comes to me and says, "Look, it's I'd like to expand. I employ 140 people. I can employ 200 if the state will help me with some backed bonds." And I'm only too happy to do that. And that I think.
Well, I'm glad that you're working on that for local people. Instead of, you know, some states seem to only be interested in plants that are coming in from out of the area rather than really focusing on helping their indigenous folks.
And this particular organization, yeah, this particular organization is less interested in attracting new industry. I'm happy to leave it in the states where it already is, but keeping what we got. They're also that one thing we had for you last week. We did get the bonds through. The rec room is going to come complete with a wine cooler. So, I mean, it'll be great. It's one of our few out-of-state projects, Jim. So
There you go.
And the big screen TV is a lockup, not a problem, okay?
Good. I appreciate that very much. Bill, give us your website, please.
It's www.dsi, is in the initials, davidsamindiana.biz, B-I-Z.
All right. So check that out, folks, when you get a chance. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, I'm going to ask, I want to talk to Bill some more about business. But before we do, in the middle of all that, I want to talk a little bit, a little politics. I want to get him to talk to us about his role in Hillary Clinton's campaign. How's that looking? And what's it going to look like for the Democrats over the next few months? It's pretty exciting, really, if you're an observer. 20 till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Bill Brand is our guest. And buckle your seatbelts. We're going to talk a little politics. And as I said before, Bill is very much involved in the campaign of Hillary Clinton. And Bill, how's it going?
Well, I think it's going real well. I believe if you stay in through Ohio, Jim, the chance of the ticket of you and Richard Simmons looks much better than I, you know. We were that ticket, I think, is just a winner.
Just make sure I'm vice president on that ticket so I don't have any responsibilities.
We were going to make sure you had no responsibilities either way, Jim. We
either way,
okay. Around you a long time, yeah. Not a problem.
You know, Bill, if in December, if you and I had been talking, which we did, but we didn't talk about this really, if I had said to you, Barack Obama is going to claim basically almost 2-1 as many states as she has, and be 1.5 million popular votes ahead of her, and have drawn ahead of her, including superdelegates, by the middle of February, you would have said, what kind of wacky weed are you smoking?
Actually, I'm one of the few who wouldn't, because I just finished running, as you recall, the last cycle, 2006, Tammy Duckworth's campaign. And Tammy was the Iraqi veteran who lost both of her legs and a bit of an arm in Iraq and ran for Congress. And my media consultant, the guy I worked with to help run that campaign, was a guy I consider a genius, David Axelrod. And that's who Barack hired.
He's got Barack, yeah.
And so when I went to the Clinton people, I said, let's not ever underestimate this guy. He is the best in the business. And I, by way of full disclosure, my niece's husband is the deputy campaign director for Barack. So I know the talent level over there. And the fellow I brought in to run Tammy's campaign as a campaign manager after the primary was the guy in charge of the caucuses in Iowa for Barack. So,
well, why didn't Hillary get with your connection? Why didn't Hillary get Axelrod?
She didn't ask, and I can
big
tell
mistake.
You. I mean, she was satisfied with the team she had, one of my large criticisms of Hillary's campaign, and she's heard it from time to time, is that there needed to be, folks of new blood, if you will, rather than just a lot of the folks that had been so faithfully serving them and very good at it, by the way, in the 90s.
Do you think that she suffered from the George Herbert Walker Bush syndrome of 1992, where he was obviously getting the floor mopped up with him, Clinton was.
He looked at his watch.
And he looked over and he basically, you know, I think maybe he even later said, I can't believe I'm losing to this guy. Don't you think she's suffering from a little bit of a predestination and in her mind, and she can't believe she's getting beat by this guy?
I think there is certainly some of that. Let me tell you that if you were in the campaign meetings I was early on, remember, she's the first likely female who really could be president. So when we had to focus on things that would talk about groundbreaking, there were a whole raft of issues that we would have to look at and factor through that most other candidates didn't. So there was a platterful of things we looked at. We also looked at Barack and thought he was a formidable opponent, but We looked at his time in the Senate and figured, much like Al Gore in 88, people forget that Al ran for president, dropped out after a couple of primaries, and said basically he was young enough to try and do it. He wanted to learn what it took to stay in 100 different Holiday Inns in a row and get up every morning and still be, you know, versatile with the press. And we thought that's what Barack was doing. His campaign has caught fire, and it's a credit to him and all the wonderful people around him. But the funny part about this is it's a long way from over yet, and all of us are sitting here scratching our heads because it is very apparent, I think, to both campaigns that neither campaign will go to the convention with enough delegates to win, other than from superdelegates.
So you're saying it won't? You're predicting it will not be resolved before the convention?
I'll give you two scenarios very briefly. If she stays very close tomorrow in Wisconsin, which I think is very possible, and if she wins in Ohio and Texas and then later Pennsylvania, although that's fairly far down the road, then she will be. Then this thing will be a virtual deadlock. I will follow
that's
the
a,
line.
That's a lot of wins she's got to come up with, and her track record in the last few campaigns have not, or elections have not been that good.
I would agree with you, except Barack tends to do well in small states with caucuses.
She tends
to do well in big states with actual, you know, private ballots, secret balloting. And the polls right now in both Texas and Ohio have her measurably ahead. Maybe not as much as we'd like to be, but measurably ahead.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is, the second scenario, if she loses Texas or Ohio, then I think she has to realign and reassess where her campaign is.
Yeah. So if she loses either Texas or Ohio, you think that somebody's going to have to be talking to her about maybe stopping?
I think on the morning of March 5th, if she loses Texas or Ohio, somebody has to come to her and reassess. I mean, there has to be a staff meeting where everybody talks about where is this going, what's the possibility of winning, and what are the impacts, for example, if we wind up playing spoiler and let the Republican, who's a formidable candidate, get a full head of steam.
You know her pretty well. Is there any chance on earth that she would be number two on an Obama ticket?
No. And let me just tell you that neither one. I mean, that would be a dumb idea for a lot of reasons. And I've explained this to people before they even talked about it. One, two senators on a ticket is always a killer. Look at Kerry. I mean, you just don't do that. I mean, you need somebody. You need to vary it. Secondly, both Illinois and New York are going to be Democratic states in the fall, no matter what happens. So you gain nothing. Find a Ritter, the governor of Colorado. Find somebody who brings something new.
I predicted at the beginning of the year that it would be Richardson. Hispanic from New Mexico with lots of experience.
He brings a lot. McCain's choices are even more interesting, but we'll talk about that after the break.
Stand by. Quick break, 10 till. Right back with our good friend Bill Brandt. Stay with us.
A time to be born. A time to...
Members of our government, as a group in mass, really don't understand how the marketplace works, the public marketplace or the private marketplace. And when they react with these regulations, that's when it's trouble. And so, folks, we've got Sarbanes-Oxley. There's not anything we can do about that now, I think. But be careful and watch out for what they may be about to do to the mortgage industry, I should say, because that could affect all of us directly.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Oh, thank you.
We'll see you next time. Nicole Galinas, ladies and gentlemen, with the Manhattan Institute and City Journal. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
For years, I saved for college. Then debt just wiped us out, and he might not be able to go.
Buried in a mound of debt and credit card bills, barely able to get by.
It's not like we bought everything we saw. It was a problem. We just didn't think it would ever get this bad.
Call Genesis Financial now and see how soon you can be debt-free. 800-709-4392. 800-709-4392.
Our retirement fund shrank, and we got scared. We used credit cards too much, and now I don't know what we'll do.
Genesis Financial is nonprofit, and we work with your creditors to reduce your monthly payments to a level you can afford. And we can reduce that interest rate so you can pay down your debts much faster. Call us now for free information. 800-709-4392. That's 800-709-4392. 800-709-4392.
USA Radio Network News. John Scott reporting. Two suspects charged with animal cruelty while the USDA has ordered the recall of 143 million pounds of meat. The Agriculture Department also shut down a California-based Hallmark Westland meat packing plant where the violations occurred. The Humane Society released a video showing workers at the plant who were using forklifts to get sick cattle to stand up so they could be slaughtered. The USDA says when meat from sick animals goes into the food chain, it elevates the risk of mad cow and E. coli diseases. This is the largest meat recall in U.S. history. President Bush is touting America's efforts in an international campaign to stamp out malaria in Africa. While visiting a hospital in the rural north of Tanzania early today, the president said not only will the effort to provide mosquito nets to every child help stop the spread of the disease, by manufacturing the nets locally, it will have an economic impact on the area.
As this campaign protects women and children from malaria, it also boosts local economies. It helps develop a culture of bed net use that will be sustained long after relief programs have ended.
Space Shuttle Atlanta is now free of the International Space Station. It will soon be setting course for the Kennedy Space Center. The shuttle crew left behind a new science lab, but taking home astronaut Dan Tawney.
I've had such a wonderful time here, and that we've accomplished quite a bit, and I've gotten to know Peggy and Yuri so well. It certainly will be sad to leave. Of course, I'm looking forward to going home and seeing my family.
This is USA Radio Network News.
Do you have enough life insurance? It's a great question. If something happens to you, your family needs the financial stability it takes to live in the home and around the people they love. Gil Edwards with Termco Insurance Agency specializes in saving people money on top-quality term life insurance. Find out if you're paying too much or if you don't have enough. Getting the right amount of life insurance is one of the most important financial decisions you can make. And ask about the new Return of Premium Life Insurance. This policy will return your entire premium back to you after 20 to 30 years, tax-free, guaranteed. Your family is protected either way. With Termco, you get a top-rated company and the best coverage at the lowest possible rate. Protection and savings. Call for a free, no-obligation quote.
The call and quote, absolutely free.
Call 800-757-8902.
800-757-8902.
That's 800-757-8902.
Severe thunderstorms, spotting tornadoes that tore through the deep south on Sunday, leaving a trail of destruction in their wake. The Montgomery Advisor newspaper says at least two injuries reported so far in Prattville, Alabama. Dozens of homes destroyed. Thousands are without electricity this morning. Power crews are working to restore the downed electrical lines. Weather.com reporting tornadoes also touched down in Florida and Georgia. One of the world's most wanted terrorist leaders, Hezbollah head Imad Munia, died last week in a car bombing. Director of National Intelligence Mike McConnell told Fox News that Munia was responsible for killing hundreds of Americans, second only to Osama bin Laden, and he may have been killed by one of his own.
Big question, of course, Hezbollah has blamed Israel, but there's some evidence that it may have been internal Hezbollah. It may have been Syrian. We don't know yet, and we're trying to sort that out.
A replacement for Munia has been named, but he has not been identified. This is USA Radio Network News.
For every kid, a bowl of fun. Noodle slurps for everyone. Campbell's chicken noodle possibilities. Soup that mom feels good about. Soup kids love without a doubt. Campbell's chicken noodle possibilities.
Made with fresh noodles and no artificial flavor. Campbell's chicken noodle soup.
Campbell's, good.
The administration is announcing that Pope Benedict XVI will be visiting the White House in April. USA Radio Network White House correspondent Connie Lawn has more on the story.
The President and the Holy Father will continue discussions, which they began during the President's visit to the Vatican in June 2007, on their common commitment to the importance of faith and reason in reaching shared goals. These goals include advancing peace throughout the Middle East and other troubled regions, promoting interfaith understanding, and strengthening human rights and freedom, especially religious liberty, around the world. Connie Lawn, USA Radio Network News, the White House.
And former First Lady Nancy Reagan hospitalized in Santa Monica, California. She fell at her home, and she is staying overnight for treatment and observation, but could be released later today from the hospital. More news at USARadio.com. John Scott reporting, USA Radio Network News.
Mommy, you sure take the time and do a lot just to keep me safe. Knee pads, baby gates, corner cushions, socket covers, and that fancy car seat for big girls like me. Where'd you find that thing?
The odds of a child being in a fatal automobile accident? 1 in 23,000. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. You know the odds of autism. Now learn some of the signs. No big smiles or other joyful expressions by 6 months. No back and forth sharing of sounds or facial expressions by 9 months. And no babbling by 12 months. To learn more of the signs and more about autism, visit autismspeaks.org.
So, Mom, while you're remembering to protect me from the unthinkable, don't dismiss the possible.
Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome to the Small Business Advocate Show, brought to you by IBM. Solutions designed and built for small business. By Administaff. Administaff is good for small business. And by Aflac. Ask about it at work. And now, conducting over 1,000 live interviews each year, the Iron Man of Radio.
I feel ready to go another 9 innings.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Hello, America, and good day to our friends around the world. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure. It's President's Day. And if your small business is like my small business, you're working, you're open up, you got customers coming in, you're calling folks, you're at work, you're open for business. The government's off today. The post office is closed. You won't get any mail. And some banks are closed, probably. And I guess some of the big companies. I guess a lot of the big companies are off today. Their folks are off today. So congratulations to them. But small. So here's what it boils down to, folks. On a day like on a day like President's Day, who's minding the store? Who's running the nation besides you and me? That's right. Who else can they turn this over to? I mean, think about it. It's President's Day. Half of the country is taken off, and you and I are still working. So that obviously, I mean, basically by definition means that you and I are running the shop here. We're running the nation right now. We're certainly running the marketplace. Wall Street's closed up, right? You know, there are no days when Wall Street is open and you and I are closed. There are no days like that. But there are plenty of days the other way. So obviously, that's another indication of the basic substance of the marketplace and that small business. The folks who show up all the time, small business owners. And then just another reason, ladies and gentlemen, why you have heard me say before and why I believe that small business is the bedrock of the U.S. economy, of the United States of America, for that matter. And therefore, a key foundation under the global economy. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Dennis Pogue's going to be with us. He's with Mount Vernon. He's Associate Director of Preservation there. We're going to talk about that. And then Bill Brandt and I are going to talk about politics in the second half of the hour. Stay with me.
Aflac for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm a flea.
Okay. Well, it is a dog-eat-dog world out there.
Look, I got a family business. Oh, here comes Pa.
Oh, your dad?
No, a Pa!
Well, with Aflac for small business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you.
Oh, like a flea market? Sort of.
Visit AflacSP.com or call 1-800-99...
Aflac!
American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Hi, I'm Arnold Palmer. You know, operating a successful business is a lot like playing golf. You need focus, dedication, passion, and a great caddy to shoulder the load. That's why I'm a client of Administaff. They manage HR burdens for America's best small businesses, providing administrative relief, big company benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve productivity.
That's right, Arnold. I'm Lori Booker, owner of CBR Public Relations here in Florida.
We signed on with Administaff more than 10 years ago because I wanted better benefits for my employees. CBR Public Relations is in its 24th year, and I can honestly say that my company would not have grown without the benefit and benefits of Administaff.
To take a load off, talk to the pros at Administaff. Call 800-465-3800 or visit administaff.com. Small business is good for America. Administaff is good for small business.
Hi, folks, this is Jim Blasingame with good news about valuable online resources from our friends at IBM. Want to get practical answers to your business questions? Go to IBM Small Business Center at ibm.com/businesscenter/small business. Ask your question, and it will be answered by email by a member of My Brain Trust. How would you like to improve customer communications or increase employee productivity? Or maybe you need help with marketing, data security, or an accounting system your company can grow with. Are you interested in learning how other companies are using technology and how they've approached small business challenges? An array of articles and customer testimonials, plus IBM's e-newsletter, Forward View, are ready for you at ibm.com/businesscenter/small business. And if you're interested in hardware and software solutions, plus current promotions, all of this is available at IBM Small Business Center at ibm.com/businesscenter/small business. Thanks again, IBM, for all you do for small business.
You've reached Pierce Incorporated. For Matt Pearson Sales, press 1. For Matt Pearson Accounting, press 1. For Matt Pearson Human Resources, press 1.
At Aflac, we know things are different in small companies. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. With Aflac SB, your small business can have the same Aflac products and service the big guys get at no direct cost to you.
For Matt Pearce in a state of exhaustion, press 1.
To learn more, call 800-99-AFLAC or visit aflacsb.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad you're here. Happy President's Day, ladies and gentlemen. If you live in America, if you're part of the United States, I should say, not North America, but in the United States, this is a day that we celebrate President's Day. And if you're an American listening around the world, happy President's Day to you. And if you're listening and you're not an American, well, just enjoy what we're going to talk about. This is a great history. We're going to be talking about some of the people who are the origins of this shining light on a hill, Governor Winthrop said way back in the 1600s, and as Ronald Reagan famously repeated in the 1980s. I'm glad to say that Dennis Pogue is with us. Dennis is Associate Director of Preservation at Mount Vernon. He's also Director of Restoration. He's been there a long time. Does a wonderful job there, and he has a lot of cool things to tell us about what's going on over there. But we're also going to talk about President's Day. Dennis, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you back. Happy President's Day.
Thank you very much. 276th anniversary of George Washington's birth.
How about that? You know, in the beginning, this was President Washington's birthday celebration.
Correct.
It wasn't President's Day. It was Washington's birthday for a long, long time, until, what was it, 1968, I think? They sort of kind of combined them a little bit there. So how indignant did you and the other folks associated with George Washington's heritage, how indignant did you get when they sort of diluted President Washington's birthday?
Well, that's a sore spot with us, Jim.
I can imagine. Let's get some controversy going here, Dennis.
Well, you know, we don't want to denigrate the memories of the other presidents. Many of them were wonderful men and did wonderful things, but we think there's no surprise why it was George Washington who was honored for his birthday for all those years, and he was the first president. He really was the man that got this country started, and we think he deserves to stand on a little bit of a higher rung. So we're a little disappointed that it's been diluted by calling it President's Day.
Well, that's interesting to hear you say. I'm glad you're honest about that, and I think you're right, because the truth is This day, on one day or another, has been celebrated since, you know, for like 215 years or so, or something like that?
Yeah, you know, it was certainly after Washington died, his birthday became the official day of mourning.
Actually, according to my records, there were some celebrations, some commemoration of his birthday in the last 4 years of his presidency. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, there were.
It wasn't official or anything, but they really started whooping it up and making a big deal out of it the last year of his presidency, which, of course, we also know he didn't live long after he left the White House. The presidency, I should say, because there wasn't a White House in those days. But but anyway, it was that way for a long, long time. And I still think that they should have carved out a separate day. But, you know, this is all about national holidays and people taking off. And there's a lot of productivity that's lost every time when there's a national holiday.
That's true, but, you know, there's all sorts of... You know, our national holidays, especially this day, have turned into you know, an opportunity to sell cars and to you know, have sales and all that, as opposed to spending some time actually thinking about the individuals after whom the holiday really is named. And so it marks a real shift in how we view these things in society today.
Well, and of course, as I said earlier, Dennis, you know, half of the country is on holiday today, and the other half, small business owners, we're holding down the fort. We're the people that's been left in charge of the country here.
That's true.
So, you know, which is appropriate. I mean, I don't even want to think, Dennis. I can't even imagine what a basket case this country would turn into in 24 hours if the rest of the nation had charge of the country and small business owners took off a day altogether. I don't even want to think about that. Would be so ugly. I don't even want to think about that. What that looks like, Dennis. You've been doing some great things there at the Mount Vernon. Dennis, as I said, folks, is Associate Director of Preservation and Director of Restoration at Mount Vernon. Tell us about some of the new stuff you guys are working on there.
Well, you know, the biggest thing, of course, for us is that we opened up our new education center and museum a little over a year ago. And it's 65,000 square feet. And you can come and you can learn
that's
everything
that you
ever
want to
know.
That's a big building. That's a big building.
It's two buildings between them. And the education center is all about George Washington's life and career. And you can come and you can learn about all the different things that he did and really learn some important history about the founding of this country.
You got a lot of actors there too, don't you?
We have reenactors. Today, George Washington will be walking around the estate, you know, talking to folks. And we have a number of folks who do first-person performances, so they take on various personas, and you can interact with them as you go around and see these things. So that's something that a lot of folks, you know, really enjoy, that opportunity to actually speak with people from the past.
Right. And you've got a restoration project that you've recently finished too, haven't you? What were you working on, with the vineyard, the wine cellar once, the last time we talked?
The distillery.
That was it, yeah. I knew there was some spirits involved there somewhere.
Right. Again, Washington, you know, had just a remarkable career, and most people don't have much of an understanding of it at all. And one of the things that he did that almost nobody knew about until we started this project was that he operated one of the largest whiskey distilleries in the country. And we found the site, we excavated it, the archaeology there, have reconstructed it, and now from April through October you can come and you can actually see how they made whiskey in the
18th. Can I sip a little whiskey when I get there?
Well, I'm afraid you can't do that on a
normal
basis.
do we have his recipe? Is it still available?
We do. It was a rye whiskey. Mostly rye, which is a little spicier than the bourbon that most people drink today.
Yeah.
But that was the popular whiskey of the time.
See, I think we've just found a way to subsidize your revenue up there, to augment your revenue up there, Dennis.
Well, we do have some plans. We don't make it on a daily basis, but we have had some distillers come in and make some special batches. And
I think you need to do. I think. Hey, listen, I'll buy some, and I'm not even a big whiskey drinker. Stand by, Dennis. We're gonna take a quick break. Dennis Polk is our guest, folks. Having a great time with him. He represents Mount Vernon today on President's Day, which originally was Washington's the national holiday celebrating Washington's birthday. 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. All of this day.
There's nothing small about today's small business. Big hours make up big work weeks. Every meeting is a big meeting. Every call is a big call. When the only printer for all the computers breaks down, it's a big problem. And now, thanks to Aflac, even small business insurance has gone big. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. Now, your small business can have the same great Aflac products and service the big guys get. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or visit aflacsb.com.
Aflac!
For small business, American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
I'm Arnold Palmer, and I've played some tough courses in my career, but the course that posed the most challenging hazards for me is being a business owner.
That's why I'm a client of Administaff.
They manage HR burdens like government compliance, workers' comp, and payroll taxes,
giving you a competitive advantage.
That's right, Arnold. I'm Gary Broadnax, president of Davari, a web-based CRM company here in Texas, and I've seen the cost of complying with employment regulations skyrocket. Administaff helps me control and manage these costs, and they handle all of my other HR needs too, enabling me to devote my energy to growing the business, not preserving it.
Administaff champions the needs of business owners, providing administrative relief, big company benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve productivity. Call Administaff at 800-465-3800 or visit administaff.com. And remember, small business is good for America. Administaff is good for small business.
Consumer Focus, I'm Matt Kelly. Last month, the Zota virus dealt a crippling blow to some of the world's largest companies. Now, small and mid-sized businesses are wondering if their IT networks stand a chance against the threat of viruses, spam, and more. IBM's Mike Regal.
More than 90% of all virus outbreaks now start with email. And amazingly, half of all the email sent is spam. And a quarter contains pornographic content. What this means is that small and mid-sized businesses can't be as productive or competitive as they want, and it damages their reputations in the process.
Regal recommends that even the smallest of businesses can afford to implement big business strategies when it comes to email security.
Antivirus and anti-spam programs are extremely cost-effective. If you're looking for added protection, you can use an outside vendor to easily manage your email security, and that allows you to focus on your core business operations.
For more information on email security, visit IBM.com/business center/email. That's Consumer Focus from IBM. I'm Matt Kelly.
Aflac for Small Business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an amoeba.
An amoeba?
Uh-oh, got a split.
Oh, bye.
No, I got a split in half. You know, us amoebas always growing.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you while you're still growing.
Great, because here I go. much better.
Well, you can both visit AflacSP.com or call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
I'm alone in the dark.
Hi, Jim. Renee Grant Williams here, author of Voice Power, Using Your Voice to Captivate, Persuade, and Command Attention, something you certainly do. I want to congratulate you on your first decade anniversary. I look forward to being part of your show for many, many more years to come. All the best to you and Devonna.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. Thanks for hanging around with me. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Please check them out. Use them to your advantage. We built them for you so you'd have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Dennis Polk is our guest, folks, and he is director of restoration at Mount Vernon, the home of President George Washington and Martha Washington. And Dennis, remind me how long you've been at Mount Vernon. It's a long time, I know that.
Well, it is. I'm amazed to say it, but I've been there for over 20 years. It'll be 21 years this summer.
So you literally know where the bodies are buried, don't you?
Well, I do.
Oh, quickly, I want to ask you something we talked about on the break, but I want to make sure people know. You have historic, accurate animals, livestock that are there, and folks, these are breeds that were around in those days. You have those, don't you?
We do.
Give me an example.
Well, you know, we've got cows, the Red Devons. That's an 18th century breed that came from England. That we
are they hairy?
Washington has. No, they're not like those Scottish
they're,
ones.
They're not like Highland cattle, are they?
That's right. But they were a real flexible breed. You could use them for milking, and you could use them for beef. And and Washington actually also had oxen of the Red Devon. So.
Really? I'll be darned. Do you have oxen there?
We do.
All right.
You can come and you can see. They're big guys, and they're dragging around something heavy. But the animals are real popular among the kids, of course, and they're a real feature that, you know, it's fun to see. You just see it out of the corner of your eye, and you have to go take a look at those things.
Well, you know, I grew up on a farm, raised a lot of livestock, so that I actually would enjoy that. And which, by the way, folks, we're gonna my little team and I are gonna make a trip down there in April. So we're looking forward to coming to see you. Is there anything else that's kind of underground that you think you guys have still yet to unearth? Is there anything left to be found?
Well, there is, you know, and people know that Mount Vernon's been a historic site for 150 years and assume that we've found everything that there is to find, but that's really not the case. This summer, we'll be doing a major excavation in Washington's Flower Garden, for example.
Huh.
And we have worked there a couple times over the years, and we found evidence for earlier planting beds and pathways and all that.
Wow.
So our plan is to, based on the archaeological evidence, to, you know, restore the garden and make it look even more authentic and more like it was in Washington's day.
And do you believe you'll be able to restore it with the plants and everything that they would have grown those days?
Well, yes, we do. There's some documentation. You know, we have lists of plants that were raised in the 18th century, and we're hoping that we'll find pollen evidence that may actually give us more plants than we know about and where they actually were located.
Now, do you get on your knees and yourself and get in there with you get your hands dirty and stake these things out?
I used to, Jim, but early in my career, I came to Mount Vernon as the chief archaeologist and did that for about 7 years.
Right.
But now I've got younger folks with stronger backs and better knees.
Yep, and no arthritis.
thank goodness I don't have that yet, but, you know, it's a young man's game, so.
Yeah. I got you. But it's fun to watch them, isn't it?
Well, it is, and lots of visitors. You know, all of our excavations are right out in public, and it's part of the project. You know, we have, you know, folks that talk to the visitors and tell them what we're doing and answer their questions. So it's very interesting for lots of folks.
Remind me in the audience, who actually owns Mount Vernon?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Jim, because a lot of people assume that we're part of the federal government in some way.
And you got plenty of money.
Yeah, right. They were part of the Park Service of the Smithsonian. But we're a private foundation chartered by the Commonwealth of Virginia. We don't take any money from any governmental sources. Everything that we do is, you know, from money that we've earned from gate receipts or products that we sell or from donations that we get from hundreds of patriotic Americans every year.
Right. What is it that we don't know about George Washington and his family that you think we should know?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, I think that there's so many things. Most people have a very shallow, you know, understanding of what Washington did and have some vague idea about his presidency and his role in the Revolution. But, you know, he did so much for this country, going back to the French and Indian War and all the things that he did to promote, you know, business and Western expansion and private enterprise. You know, he really was a remarkable man with a remarkable vision for how great this country could be. And most people don't have any sense of that at all, don't realize.
He also knew how to choose other people to help him lead, didn't he?
Well, he did. And
he chose well there.
Right. It was Washington who established the cabinet system. The cabinet is not part of the Constitution. And his idea was that you should have the smartest, best people. So he had Thomas Jefferson be in his cabinet and James Madison. And he had folks that weren't even political allies of his.
Hamilton was an outstanding a member of his group. You know, one of the things, Dennis, and we got to wrap it up here, but one of the things that I think he did, when he could have had more than two terms, he did less. He said, no, that's enough. And that was a standard for a long, long time. And I think that may have been one of the most important things he ever did for us. Give us the website there, Dennis.
www.mountvernon.org. Please come and see us.
MountVernon.org, folks. They'll take your contributions. Please go by and check them out and ask for Dennis Pogue personally. Thanks, Dennis. Happy President's Day.
Thank you.
Quick break. Right back with Bill Brandt. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Aflac for Small Business. How can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business. Just me and my, my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for Small Business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Since I began broadcasting the show in 1997, part of my contract with you has been to introduce you to only the very best people, companies, and products that I can find. IBM fits that profile 100%. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know by now, IBM is my sponsor in bringing you this show and all of my other small business resources. Take it from me, IBM has done a great job of developing the kinds of products and services you and I need to grow our small businesses and that help us gain a competitive edge through technology. You can find all of IBM's small business offerings at ibm.com/business center. Including a free electronic newsletter, special offers, and online advice on helping you make the right technology and e-business choices. I hope you'll say thanks to IBM for helping me help you by giving them first shot at your technology and e-commerce business. That's www.ibm.com/business center. It's a great small business website.
Hi, I'm Arnold Palmer. You know, operating a successful business is a lot like playing golf. You need focus, dedication, passion, and a great caddy to shoulder the load.
That's why I'm a client of Administaff.
They manage HR burdens for America's best small businesses, providing administrative relief, big company benefits,
reduced liabilities,
and a systematic way to improve productivity.
That's right, Arnold. I'm Gary Broadnax, president of Davari, a web-based CRM company here in Texas. We signed on with Administaff to provide better benefits for our employees, but Administaff benefits for employers have surpassed our highest expectations, from recruiting and job training to payroll and liability issues. Administaff offers all the advantages a growing company needs.
To take a load off, talk to the pros at Administaff. Call 800-465-3800 or visit administaff.com. Small business is good for America. Administaff is good for small business.
Aflac for Small Business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm a flea.
Okay. Well, it is a dog-eat-dog world out there.
Look, I got a family business. Oh, here comes Paw.
Oh, your dad?
No, a Paw!
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you.
Oh, like a flea market? Sort of.
Visit AflacSB.com or call 1-800-99-AFLAC. American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much. for staying with me today. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. Bill Brandt is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's the president and founder of Development Specialists Incorporated, and he travels the world helping companies and not just companies, but countries solve some of their issues that they have, some of the challenges that they have. He's a very smart guy, and he's also very heavily involved with the Democrat Party, and it's more specifically, in the interest of full disclosure, very heavily involved in the campaign of Hillary Clinton. But more importantly, he's our good friend. Bill Brandt, welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning, Jim, and it's glad, I'm happy to be here as always.
It's good to have you back. And something else happened that you were just telling me about. I want you to tell the audience about. I know that you were helping Ohio folks. When I said governments, Bill, helping governments, I meant what I said. And Bill, you did. I know you did some things with Ohio, but in observing that, your own state of Illinois came calling, didn't they?
Yeah. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Just before Christmas, the governor asked me to chair the Illinois Finance Authority. So that is the agency. It's one of the largest state agencies in the country. About 4 or 5 years ago,
Is that like an economic development organization?
About four or 5 years ago, the governor combined all the bond issuing agencies for the purposes of preserving jobs, expanding education, healthcare, industry, and so I'm now the one who reviews these projects and tries to attract industry to Illinois.
Wow.
And save jobs and do the rest of it.
Congratulations. Well, how does that work?
I'm still trying to figure that out, Jim. I get volunteered for the worst things. No, I think what happens is that Illinois and other states as well could issue bonds for worthy projects.
Right.
Energy development projects, energy independence projects, university expansion.
To attract a plant and help pay for the build-out, that kind of thing?
To attract a plant and help pay for the build-out, to retain a plant and do some expansion so there's new job creation, to put up new dorms at universities, to expand healthcare services. A lot of the stuff we're looking at in Illinois right now, Illinois, as you know, is the Saudi Arabia of coal.
Uh-huh.
And at some point, all that coal is going to, everybody talks about biomass fuels, and I'm a big fan of ancient biomass, which is coal. And so if we can dig it up and burn it in such a way.
I can't sit very well with your friend Al Gore, Bill.
No, I think actually it might, and I'll tell you why. Because the governor has come out with a new carbon emission program. We want to be carbon neutral. We want to trap the CO2 emissions and put them back underground in these old coal mines. And so the government, the U.S. government, just announced a plan called FutureGen for Mattoon, Illinois, down in southern Illinois near Evansville, where they will produce a new coal-burning plant that will trap all of its emissions and put them back underground.
Wow!
So it'll be emission neutral. Obviously, it's got to gasify the coal and do all this. And so these are the kind of endeavors that I'm supposed to be looking at, and we'll see if we can issue tax-exempt bonds. We're talking about coming up with green bonds. So many people want to put in their portfolio investments. In the old days, remember when they wouldn't invest in South Africa because of apartheid?
Right.
They're looking now for bonds that are certified as something backing a green program. And so this is the kind of stuff we're going to try and develop. So I think Al Gore would be happy with me, although with Al, you never know. He's kind of a stoic,
So this is sort of a variation on ethics investing. Ethical investing.
It is. I mean, that's one thing we're going to do. The other stuff, Jim, is as you know it, and it's good for small business and business everywhere. It's run of the mill. A plant comes to me and says, "Look, it's I'd like to expand. I employ 140 people. I can employ 200 if the state will help me with some backed bonds." And I'm only too happy to do that. And that I think.
Well, I'm glad that you're working on that for local people. Instead of, some states seem to only be interested in plants that are coming in from out of the area rather than really focusing on helping their indigenous folks.
And this particular organization, this particular organization is less interested in attracting new industry. I'm happy to leave it in the states where it already is, but keeping what we got. They're also that one thing we had for you last week. We did get the bonds through. The rec room is going to come complete with a wine cooler. So, it'll be great. It's one of our few out-of-state projects, Jim. So And the big screen TV is a lockup, not a problem, okay?
Good. I appreciate that very much. Bill, give us your website, please.
It's www.dsi, is in the initials, David Sam Indiana. biz.
All right. So check that out, folks, when you get a chance. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, I'm going to ask, I want to talk to Bill some more about business. But before we do, in the middle of all that, I want to talk a little bit, a little politics. I want to get him to talk to us about his role in Hillary Clinton's campaign. How's that looking? And what's it going to look like for the Democrats over the next few months? It's pretty exciting, really, if you're an observer. 20 till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
You've reached Pearson Incorporated. For Matt Pearson Sales, press 1. For Matt Pearson Accounting, press 1. For Matt Pearson Human Resources, press 1.
At Aflac, we know things are different in small companies. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. With Aflac SB, your small business can have the same Aflac products and service the big guys get at no direct cost to you.
For Matt Pearce in a state of exhaustion, press 1.
To learn more, call 800-99-AFLAC
or
visit aflacsb.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
I'm Arnold Palmer, and I've played some tough courses in my career, but the course that posed the most challenging hazards for me is being a business owner.
That's why I'm a client of Administaff.
They manage HR burdens like government compliance, workers' comp, and payroll taxes,
giving you a competitive advantage.
That's right, Arnold. I'm Becky Browning, Vice President of Live Oak Capital here in Texas. I've seen the cost of complying with employment regulations skyrocket. Administaff helps me control and manage these costs, and they handle all my other HR needs too, enabling me to devote my energy to growing the business, not preserving it.
Administaff champions the needs of business owners, providing administrative relief, big company benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve productivity. Call Administaff at 800-465-3800 or visit administaff.com. And remember, small business is good for America. Administaff is good for small business.
Hi, folks. This is Jim Blassingame with good news about valuable online resources from our friends at IBM. Want to get practical answers to your business questions? Go to IBM Small Business Center at ibm.com/businesscenter/small business. Ask your question, and it will be answered by email by a member of My Brain Trust. How would you like to improve customer communications or increase employee productivity? Or maybe you need help with marketing, data security, or an accounting system your company can grow with. Are you interested in learning how other companies are using technology and how they've approached small business challenges? An array of articles and customer testimonials, plus IBM's e-newsletter, Forward View, are ready for you at ibm.com/businesscenter/small business. And if you're interested in hardware and software solutions, plus current promotions, all of this is available at IBM Small Business Center at ibm.com/businesscenter/small business. Thanks again, IBM, for all you do for small business.
There's nothing small about today's small business. Big hours make up big work weeks. Every meeting is a big meeting. Every call is a big call. When the only printer for all the computers breaks down, it's a big problem. And now, thanks to Aflac, even small business insurance has gone big. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. Now, your small business can have the same great Aflac products and service the big guys get. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or visit aflacsb.com.
Aflac!
For small business, American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Bill Brand is our guest. And buckle your seatbelts. We're going to talk a little politics. And as I said before, Bill is very much involved in the campaign of Hillary Clinton. And Bill, how's it going?
Well, I think it's going real well. I believe if you stay in through Ohio, Jim, the chance of the ticket of you and Richard Simmons looks much better than I. You know, we were that ticket. I think is just a winner.
Just make sure I'm vice president on that ticket, so I don't have any responsibilities.
We were going to make sure you had no responsibilities either way, Jim. We
either way,
okay. Around you a long time, yeah. Not a problem.
You know, Bill, if in December. If you and I had been talking, which we did, but we didn't talk about this really, if I had said to you, Barack Obama is going to claim basically almost 2-1 as many states as she has, and be 1.5 million popular votes ahead of her, and draw ahead of her, including superdelegates, by the middle of February, you would have said, what kind of wacky weed are you smoking?
Actually, I'm one of the few who wouldn't, because I just finished running, as you recall, the last cycle, 2006, Tammy Duckworth's campaign. And Tammy was the Iraqi veteran who lost both of her legs and a bit of an arm in Iraq and ran for Congress. And my media consultant, the guy I worked with to help run that campaign, was a guy I consider a genius, David Axelrod. And that's who Barack hired.
He's got Barack,
And so when I went to the Clinton people, I said, let's not ever underestimate this guy. He is the best in the business. And I, by way of full disclosure, my niece's husband is the deputy campaign director for Barack. So I know the talent level over there. And the fellow I brought in to run Tammy's campaign as a campaign manager after the primary was the guy in charge of the caucuses in Iowa for for Barack. So,
well, why didn't Hillary get with your connections? Why didn't Hillary get Axelrod?
She didn't ask, and I can
big
tell
mistake.
You. I mean, she was satisfied with the team she had, and one of my large criticisms of Hillary's campaign, and she's heard it from time to time, is that there needed to be folks of new blood, if you will, rather than just a lot of the folks that had been so faithfully serving them and very good at it, by the way, in the 90s.
Do you think that she suffered from the George Herbert Walker Bush syndrome of 1992, where she remember the one debate where he was obviously getting the floor mopped up with him, Clinton was.
He looked at his watch.
And he looked over and he basically, you know, I think maybe he even later said, I can't believe I'm losing to this guy. Don't you think she's suffering from a little bit of a predestination and in her mind, and she can't believe she's getting beat by this guy?
I think there is certainly some of that. Let me tell you that if you were in the campaign meetings I was early on, remember, she's the first likely female who really could be president. So when we had to focus on things that would talk about groundbreaking, there were a whole raft of issues that we would have to look at and factor through that most other candidates didn't. So there was a platter full of things we looked at. We also looked at Barack and thought he was a formidable opponent, but we looked at his time in the Senate and figured, much like Al Gore in '88, people forget that Al ran for president, dropped out after a couple of primaries, and said basically he was young enough to try and do it. He wanted to learn what it took to stay in 100 different Holiday Inns in a row and get up every morning and still be, you know, versatile with the press. And we thought that's what Barack was doing. His campaign has caught fire, and it's a credit to him and all the wonderful people around him. But the funny part about this is it's a long way from over yet, and all of us are sitting here scratching our heads because it is very apparent, I think, to both campaigns that neither campaign will go to the convention with enough delegates to win, other than from superdelegates.
So you're saying it won't? You're predicting it will not be resolved before the convention?
I'll give you two scenarios very briefly. If she stays very close tomorrow in Wisconsin, which I think is very possible, and if she wins in Ohio and Texas and then later Pennsylvania, although that's fairly far down the road, then she will be. Then this thing will be a virtual deadlock. I will follow
that's a lot of wins she's got to come up with, and her track record in the last few campaigns have not been that good.
I would agree with you, except Barack tends to do well in small states with caucuses.
She
tends to do well in big states with actual, you know, private ballots, secret balloting. And the polls right now in both Texas and Ohio have her measurably ahead. Maybe not as much as we'd like to be, but measurably ahead.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is, the second scenario, if she loses Texas or Ohio, then I think she has to realign and reassess where her campaign is.
Yeah. So if she loses either Texas or Ohio, you think that somebody's going to have to be talking to her about maybe stopping?
I think on the morning of March 5th, if she loses Texas or Ohio, somebody has to come to her and reassess. I mean, there has to be a staff meeting where everybody talks about where is this going, what's the possibility of winning, and what are the impacts, for example, if we wind up playing spoiler and let the Republican, who's a formidable candidate, get a full head of steam.
You know her pretty well. Is there any chance on earth that she would be number two on an Obama ticket?
I, No, and let me just tell you that neither one, I mean, that would be a dumb idea for a lot of reasons, and I've explained this to people before they even talked about it. One, two senators on a ticket is always a killer. Look at Kerry. I mean, you just don't do that. I mean, you need somebody, you need to vary it. Secondly, both Illinois and New York are going to be Democratic states in the fall, no matter what happens, so you gain nothing. Find somebody.
Right.
Find a Ritter, the governor of Colorado. Find somebody who brings something new.
I predicted at the beginning of the year that it would be Richardson, Hispanic from New Mexico with lots of experience.
He brings a lot. McCain's choices are even more interesting, but we'll talk
about
that after the break.
Stand by. Quick break, Tin Till. Right back with our good friend Bill Brandt. Stay with us.
A time to be born, a time to die.
Aflac for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an amoeba.
An amoeba?
Uh-oh, got a split.
Oh, bye.
No, I got a split in half. You know, us amoebas always growing.
Well, with Aflac for small business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you while you're still growing.
Great, because here I go. much better.
Well, you can both visit AflacSB.com or call 1-800-99-AFLAC. American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Hi, I'm Arnold Palmer. You know, operating a successful business is a lot like playing golf. You need focus, dedication, passion, and a great caddy to shoulder the load. That's why I'm a client of Administaff. They manage HR burdens for America's best small businesses, providing administrative relief, big company benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve productivity.
That's right, Arnold. I'm Becky Browning, Vice President of Live Oak Capital here in Texas. We signed on with Administaff to provide better benefits for our employees, but Administaff benefits for employers have surpassed our highest expectations, from recruiting and job training to payroll and liability issues. Administaff offers all the advantages a growing company needs.
To take a load off, talk to the pros at Administaff. Call 800-465-3800 or visit administaff.com. Small business is good for America. Administaff is good for small business.
Consumer Focus, I'm Matt Kelly. Last month, the Zota virus dealt a crippling blow to some of the world's largest companies. Now, small and mid-sized businesses are wondering if their IT networks stand a chance against the threat of viruses, spam, and more. IBM's Mike Regal.
More than 90% of all virus outbreaks now start with email. And amazingly, half of all the email sent is spam. And a quarter contains pornographic content. What this means is that small and mid-sized businesses can't be as productive or competitive as they want, and it damages their reputation in the process.
Regal recommends that even the smallest of businesses can afford to implement big business strategies when it comes to email security.
Antivirus and anti-spam programs are extremely cost-effective. If you're looking for added protection, you can use an outside vendor to easily manage your email security, and that allows you to focus on your core business operations.
For more information on email security, visit ibm.com/businesscenter/email. That's Consumer Focus from IBM. I'm Matt Kelly.
Aflac for small business. How can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business. Just me and my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for small business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to AflacSB.com. Aflac for small business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Lassingame, Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Use them to your advantage. Check them out. Lots of good stuff there. I hope you'll go there. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out our blog. You can listen to our show. Lots of different ways. Replay. The archives go all the way back. You can to 99. You can stream. You can podcast. You can RSS, lots of good stuff there, so check those out. And don't forget, AskJim.biz is where you can get small business answers now. Bill Brandt is our guest. He's president of Development Specialists Incorporated. Bill, are you saying that it will go to the convention undecided, the candidacy you will not have a nominee before the convention, the Democrats?
If she wins Ohio, Texas, and Pennsylvania. That is a distinct possibility, and it's a very distinct possibility that having won those states, she could roll up a lot of the latter states that have primaries rather than caucuses, and this thing basically goes into the convention as a dead heat.
That's good for a civics lesson. That's wonderful for an American civics lesson. It's good news for the Republicans, but it can't be good news for the Democrats.
A lot of people will say that. That's the common wisdom. I would tell you that it will keep attention riveted on the Democrats. It will keep the Democratic people, the Democratic base, just, all charged up. And the last time we did this, it was 1952. But I think that it's a distinct possibility that the Florida delegation may be seated for her at some point, because everybody was on the ballot in that place and nobody campaigned. I'm a little more dubious about Michigan.
That's my question. All right, that's the biggie right now, is Michigan and Florida. How are you guys going to resolve this?
Well, I'm not.
This is a can of worms, Bill.
I don't know if it's a can of worms. I think it's two different issues. I think everybody agreed not to campaign in both states. In Michigan, she was the only one on the ballot. And so I think there are some concessions there to reality. In Florida, they were all on the ballot. Nobody campaigned. And so, if you will, the test does, in fact, basically talk about who was the choice of the Florida voters. Florida may get seat. Florida is an awfully important state, and making an example out of Florida just before the general election, and for that matter, to some extent, Michigan, isn't the world's best idea. The funniest part about all this is
Democrats shooting themselves in the foot, isn't it?
Remains to be seen. The funniest part about all this is, if the Michigan and the Florida delegations hadn't tried to jump the gun, their primaries would now be coming up, and they would be terribly important, more important than they were when they happened.
The irony is palpable, isn't it?
It shows to go you. There's always a plan. You ought to stick to it,
Well, I'm still amazed at what's going on. I mean, this is I said, and one of the things I've made a lot of predictions this year, and many of them have already proven to be wrong. But one thing I did predict, Bill, and I've said this many times, that I said that in the very first of January, I said, folks, 2008 is the year that we will live the Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times.
There's a lot. I mean, this is going to be, the economics of this year are going to be tough. The politics are going to be wild. This is going to be perhaps not as notable as 1968, but one of those benchmark years we all remember for many decades to come.
So if Hillary runs the table, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and can she lose either one of those in Texas? Could she get two out of three and still hang on?
It would be doubtful.
She's got to run the table. If she does, you're predicting that it'll go to the convention, and then the superdelegates are a big deal there, aren't they?
Right. I mean, it may not.
Are you a superdelegate?
I am not a superdelegate. I have been a superdelegate in the past. I have been a regular delegate in the past. And this year I ran as a delegate in Illinois, but I was for Hillary, obviously, but I was swamped by the Obama crowd. So I'm not sure it goes to the convention. I think after June 7th, which is the Puerto Rican primary, my guess is that the superdelegates and others will spend a very furious summer reassessing all of this, and would love not to do this at the convention, but sort this out in July in a series of meetings. That's distinctly possible.
So you think Florida is going to be counted and Michigan is not going to be counted?
If I had to pick my druthers, I would tell you that the argument is saner, easier, and more logical for Florida than it is for Michigan, simply because in Michigan people pulled their names off the ballot.
But basically, though, Bill, with all these different things hanging out there, there's no way that the Democrat convention is not going to be an uproarious one.
Well, even Democratic conventions that have the nominee well locked up turn out to be uproarious. I mean, we get cameos by Teresa.
This is
Hines,
not going to be a librarian convention here, folks.
They rarely are.
Can I buy a ticket right now so I can just watch?
If I could get the popcorn and beer concession in the grandstands, I'd never have to work again.
I'm telling you, you guys ought to charge for people to watch this. It's going to be crazy. Hey, Bill, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Happy to be here, Jim, as always.
Take care of yourself. Happy President's Day. Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
We'll see you next time. We're going to get Bill back again, folks, as the year goes through, and get his wisdom for us. It's always a lot of fun. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.